Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri, and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, February 15th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru says she is the leader of Zimbabwe People First Party.
I knew it wasn't going to take long before the truth would come out. And the world is now seeing what it is that is happening.
Some Zimbabweans say it's now clear that First Lady Grace Mugabe wants to succeed her husband, President Mugabe.
Manjuru is no more in terms of power in ZANU-PF. Mnangagwa is as good as gone. When he's gone, who's left? This is where they shall see the truth. She is next.
Zimbabwean authorities impound a United States-registered cargo plane with human remains.
And a ZANU-PF legislator wins a kissing competition.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Some Zimbabweans say First Lady Grace Mugabe's attacks on senior government officials like Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is a clear indication that she's now gunning for the highest office in the land. They say she wants to purge all those who she perceives as stumbling blocks in her ascendancy to the presidency. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Some Zimbabweans say it is clear that the First Lady is now inching closer to the country's executive arm of the state as she wants to eliminate suspected enemies like Mnangagwa and members of this alleged ZANU-PF faction calling itself Team Lacosta. Several top ZANU-PF officials aligned to this group have already been suspended in the Midlands province, viewed as Mnangagwa's stronghold, and other regions. Expelled former ZANU-PF legislator Temba Muliswa, who is also a coordinator of the Youth Advocates for Reform and Democracy, said the First Lady is currently eliminating perceived stumbling blocks as she is destined for the highest office in Zimbabwe.
Manjuru is no more in terms of power in ZANU-PF. Mnangagwa is as good as gone. When he's gone, who's left? This is where they shall see the truth. She is next.
Independent political commentator Ernest Muzengi concurred, saying President Mugabe knows what his wife is doing as he is trying to secure the future of his family by ensuring that Ms. Mugabe is in charge of the executive arm of the state.
It could happen. If the North Korean president left his very young son, what would stop President Mugabe from wanting or desiring to have the throne remaining within his family?
Another independent political commentator, Fortune Gwaze, said while Ms. Mugabe has in the past said she was not vying for the highest office, recent developments in ZANU-PF point to a different direction.
From her statement on Friday, where she categorically stated that I do not aspire to be, you know, to rule because I'm already ruling, you know, also points to, you know, the fact that she is angling to succeed her husband.
But Muliswa said even if Ms. Mugabe is appointed ZANU-PF presidential candidate for the 2018 elections, she is not sellable to the electorate.
She has no capacity to lead this country.
Another faction of the party calling itself Generation 40 is allegedly supporting Ms. Mugabe's moves. Some ordinary Zimbabweans have criticized the First Lady for a continued attack on Mnangagwa and some cabinet ministers, saying this was affecting government operations. Harare resident Marvin Mukundu said it is becoming difficult for Mnangagwa and his colleagues in the ruling party to discharge their duties when they are constantly attacked and dressed down in public.
For example, if you want to look at the STEM issue and the indigenization issue where government business is now being interrupted or halted on lines of factionalism. So the First Lady is going on a rampage, perpetuating and making factionalism worse, which is now reflecting on government business.
But ZANU-PF activist Henry Janje said there is nothing wrong about what the First Lady is doing. He says while there are some few individuals who are disgruntled, the majority of people in the ruling party were fully behind her.
What she is doing right now is okay. It gives the party the image that they want it to be.
Democratic Party leader Uriah Izembe said Ms. Mugabe's behavior was very questionable and expect the president and ZANU-PF to rein her in.
We expect that the government machinery must actually be invoked to deal with the situation. Otherwise, this nation is headed for very, very serious social upheavals.
Ms. Mugabe last Friday attacked Mnangagwa and his supporters, accusing them of fanning factionalism and several other issues, among them attempting to kill her son, Belamin Chatunga, and corruption. Speaking at the same rally, Vice President Pelekezela Mpoko said it was not given that Ekaranga would succeed President Mugabe in a move that has drawn widespread criticism. People's Democratic Party spokesman Jacob Mafume said Mboko's comments were an insult to the whole ethnic group and was uncalled for as it sets the country on a dangerous path. DP Zembe said presidents in Zimbabwe are not elected on tribal lines and Mboko must be charged for failing to defend the constitution as his utterances promote tribalism. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
A United States cargo aircraft headed for South Africa was impounded by Zimbabwean authorities on Sunday after a dead body was found on the plane. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Civil Aviation Authority of Zimbabwe General Manager David Chawota told Studio 7 by phone that the plane belonging to Western Global Airlines, registered in Florida, United States, was impounded when a dead body was found on the plane. Chawota said the plane that was carrying millions of South African rands belonging to the South African Reserve Bank had stopped at the Harare International Airport for refueling when blood was found dripping from the plane by ground handling staff at the airport. South Africa's ambassador to Zimbabwe, Vusi Mavimbela, confirmed to Studio 7 by phone that the cargo that was in the US plane was ordered from Germany and belonged to the South African government. He said two South African nationals are part of the six people that are being questioned by Zimbabwean authorities. Pradeep Maharaj, the current cluster group executive of the Reserve Bank of South Africa, also issued a statement late this afternoon saying that his bank suspects that the dead body found on the plane carrying the bank's cargo was a stowaway passenger. Maharaj said his bank was making frantic efforts to ensure that its cargo was released and transported to South Africa immediately. The police officer investigating the case, Crispin Makedenge, said he was busy working on the matter and referred all questions to police spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Cherit Charamba. At the time of going to air, Charamba said she did not have a full brief of the investigation so far. However, some aviation sources told Studio 7 that the plane's captain initially made a request to refuel the aircraft in Maputo, but his request was turned down by Mozambican authorities. The sources said the plane was then allowed to make a stopover at Harare International Airport, where it was later impounded. Meanwhile, Mavimbela told Studio 7 that the plane's crew was not arrested, but helping police with investigations. He added that the two South Africans who were on the crew were employees of the Reserve Bank of South Africa. Police sources said others were two Americans and two Pakistanis. At the time of going to air, Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mbengegui had summoned the ambassadors of South Africa, USA, Pakistan, and Germany for an emergency meeting over the issue. Mbengegui said he was in a meeting when contacted for comment. In 2004, Zimbabwean authorities intercepted 64 missionaries at the Harare International Airport en route to Equatorial Guinea, where they intended to stage a coup against that country's president, Theodoro Obiang Nguema Mbasogo. In another story, three men have been arraigned before a Harare magistrate for stealing a phone belonging to President Robert Mugabe's son, Belamine Chatunga Mugabe. The trio was ordered to pay $100 bail each by Magistrate Vakai Chikwekwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
A former Vice President Joyce Mujuru has for the first time confirmed that she's leading the opposition People's First Party that she says that she registered with the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission on Friday. In an exclusive interview with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, Mrs. Mujuru also says she's not shocked by the serious factional fights that have again engulfed the ruling ZANU-PF as the battle to succeed President Robert Mugabe intensifies.
I was expecting it. It's very distressing. And I'm sure for a long time, if not for over a year, I've not been giving any interview. It's because I knew the thing that happened to me was done as a way of trying to get rid of somebody who knew had something different to what they had in mind. But it was a marriage of convenience. It wasn't something which they had, which could leave ZANU-PF as ZANU-PF. But to me, it wasn't a surprise because I knew it was, they were all lies and they were not saying the truth amongst themselves. I knew. And I knew it wasn't going to take long before the truth would come out. And the world is now seeing what it is that is happening.
And why is it that there's this alleged animosity between war veterans in the party and the so-called Young Turks?
The issue is, I am not very sure. Since I left the party, I decided to just leave it and don't involve myself in what has been going on in ZANU-PF. I did not want to have anything to do with it, because I did not want to entangle myself with the going on. I knew it's a group of thugs, a group of power-hungry people, a group of liars. They can start thinking of just fabricating things that don't exist. And so to me, I'm not such a character. So I decided to just keep it to myself.
We also understand that you have registered your party with ZEC, if you may explain that.
Yes, I have. I registered on Friday. And this is as a result of the overwhelming demands of the people. In fact, I should have done it mid last year, but because I was refusing to do that without me convincing myself that they had done the best of recruitment. I wanted to understand whether they had reached Bait Bridge, from Bait Bridge to Kumbura, and from border Botswana to border Mozambique, which we have done.
So we can safely say you are now leading this party. You are the interim president.
Yes, please.
That was former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, now interim president of the opposition People First Party, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Beatrice. We will air part two of this interview tomorrow here on Studio 7. Don't miss it.
Meanwhile, some supporters of People First say they will now start campaigning for the party ahead of the 2018 general elections. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more details from Chinoy.
There was jubilation and ululation among People First members when they held their first meeting in Chinoy on Saturday. They were happy that the party has finally been officially registered in Zimbabwe. The PF members who addressed each other as nation builders said the registration will now enable them to freely mobilize the electorate, held rallies and public meetings without fear of the police. The organizer of Saturday's meeting, former ZANU-PF and MDC-T provincial member Tendai Musonza, said many MDC and ZANU-PF followers were waiting for the party to register in order to join it.
I'm very happy that we have launched as a political party, and I strongly feel the People First is the party the people of Zimbabwe have been waiting for. Yes. It's going to make it easy. Even people will begin to have confidence in us as a political party, because it's what they, one of the things they've been asking for.
Speaking at the meeting, Abigail Sauti, a former MDCT National Council member, said she felt overwhelmed by the registration, as this will allow them to market their party, as many people were hesitant to join them because they were not registered.
We are now free to go to the people, to talk to them, to mobilize, to have some public meetings. Because we are now a registered party, you can now go to the police station and book for some meetings and have them freely.
Addressing more than 300 Chinoy ward level structure members, former Information Minister and ZANU-PF member Bright Matonga, who is the PF Acting Provincial Coordinator, urged their members to desist from violence. Responding to questions, another former ZANU-PF Mondoro Mbaira member of parliament, Sylvester Nguni, said unlike other political parties, PF has term limits of 2 5-year terms on any position. The PF meeting was attended by prominent former provincial or veteran leader Amos Sipoga Lemaunga, former ZANU-PF stalwarts, MDCT provincial members and operatives of the feared National Spy Network, the Central Intelligence Organization or CIO. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Now we take a look at regional and international news.
Bahrain police have arrested four American journalists covering the anniversary of the tiny island's pro-democracy protests that were crushed by authorities 5 years ago.
Ugandan police have detained opposition candidate Kizza Besigye as he campaigned for president in Kampala. Besigye has lost three disputed elections to President Yoweri Museveni, who has been in power since 1986.
Millions of workers and school children in the United States have the day off today for the annual President's Day holiday.
And the body of 79-year-old U.S. Associate Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia is being returned to Virginia from Texas, where he unexpectedly died of natural causes at a ranch resort on Saturday.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Food insecurity in Zimbabwe is threatening people living with HIV, AIDS, and the situation is dire as the number of vulnerable locals in desperate need of food assistance is rising every day. Some people living with HIV, AIDS say it's now difficult to take prescribed antiretroviral drugs without getting adequate food. Our correspondent Lloyd Hamoyo has more details from Mutare.
Some international organizations like the World Food Programme say the number of people in need of food aid assistance in Zimbabwe is now estimated at 2.4 million. Earlier projections had put the figure at 1.5 million. Indications are that up to 3 million people may be in need of food aid in the country with a huge grain deficit. Manicaland province is one of the regions devastated by the current dry spell being fueled by the El Nino weather phenomenon, which has brought intensive heat in most parts of the country, resulting in the wilting of crops due to moisture stress. Thousands of cattle have succumbed to the devastating drought that has left millions of Zimbabweans struggling to have a decent meal per day. The worst affected are people living with HIV/AIDS who need at least 3 meals a day. Rosemary South of Sakuva Sebab says unlike in the past, when they did part-time jobs, they can't even manage to get a dollar per day to buy food due to the high unemployment rate in the country.
There's no food. People are suffering. Why? Because if there's someone, or even a neighbor, or someone, a friend, if she or he can know that you are HIV positive, she can laugh at you, so you end up discouraged.
Another Mutare resident who only identified herself as Elizabeth and has been living with HIV for almost a decade says it is impossible for most of them to have a balanced diet of African dishes as prescribed by local doctors.
Those nutritious food, it's very important to those who live with HIV and AIDS. So those tablets, they need food, more food and more nutritious food. So if they can't get that food, it's difficult to live.
Elizabeth, who is also a local caregiver in Chikanga's Ward 16 in the city, says a balanced diet is important for a person taking antiretroviral therapy as it boosts white and red blood cells.
To get in nutritious foods is to regain your cells for the blood cells to back to normal.
Casper Pound is the coordinator of the Family AIDS Support Organization, which has over 5,000 people living with HIV/AIDS in Manicaland province. He says the hunger situation is critical for their members.
Currently, the members are suffering. They do not have food. They do not even have cash to use to buy the food. And as a result, as far as adherence is concerned of art, they won't be able to adhere because they'll spend much of their time trying to look for someone to give them food or to beg for food. And in these days, people are not even comfortable to continue donating. So this also is a bearing towards the 90-90-90 targets that the global is setting to end AIDS by 2030, because treatment alone without food at times won't be all that effective.
Pound says non-government organizations and the state must now direct their efforts on ensuring that all vulnerable groups have food security and advanced nutrition levels to avert disaster in most households across the country.
I would actually direct my appeal to the government, particularly to National AIDS Council. There's a component of treatment and care where they are talking about nutrition.
Manicaland is one of the provinces hard hit by the drought, which has also devastated Matabeleland, Mashingo, and several others. Members of the National Assembly, Prosper Mseami and Enoch Porusungazi of Sumskawanu and Chipinge South constituencies appealed to the government recently to quickly move in to avert a hunger crisis in their regions that fall under Geographical Natural Region 5. President Robert Mugabe has declared a state of disaster in Zimbabwe following the devastating drought. Zimbabwe needs $1.5 billion for food aid. The country has been importing maize from Zambia, Malawi, and South Africa. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Loida Moyo.
Some human rights organizations have accused the police of brutality after crushing a Valentine's Day march in Harare at the weekend. The peaceful protesters who wanted to show their love for Zimbabwe and to send some roses to parliamentarians seeking their help in creating a democratic state were beaten up by the police. Some of them, including Tendai Lynette Mudewe of Zimbabwe Activists Alliance and several others, sought medical help after being violently dispersed by the police. The march was organized by the Zimbabwe Activists Alliance, Youth Advocacy for Reform and Democracy, and Restoration for Human Rights. Mudewe tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they were surprised by the police's heavy-handedness but will not be intimidated.
We had a very successful march where more than 100 peace-loving Zimbabweans attended and others joined along the way as we were celebrating and expressing our love for Zimbabwe. Well, the police in Zimbabwe seems they are bent to disrupt any march that the people of Zimbabwe are going to be having We notified the police. We were invited for a meeting with Jok, which was a very illegal meeting, but we attended. We attended because we are peace-loving Zimbabweans, and when the police tell us that we must attend a meeting, no matter how illegal it is, we attended that meeting. And as well as in our march, we were disrupted as we were about to lay our bouquet of red roses at the parliament in Zimbabwe.
How was your march disrupted?
Four leaders of the organizations that were partnering with the Zimbabwe Activist Alliance, we were severely beaten, not arrested, sustained some injuries, and received medical attention at Avenue Clinic, and are continuing to receive this medical attention, even though for now no one is hospitalized. We are all discharged.
Are you going to take any action against this?
Yes, we have approached Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, the human rights lawyers, to approach the court on our behalf to challenge this illegal beating of demonstrators in Zimbabwe. In Zimbabwe, the constitution allows Zimbabweans to demonstrate and petition the government and any other institutions as long as it is peaceful.
That was Tendai Linet Mudewe of the Zimbabwe Activist Alliance on the phone from Harare with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
Meanwhile, on a lighter note, ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chinotimba and his wife Vimbai on Valentine's Day kissed for 10 minutes in a competition organized by the Book of African Records. Chinotimba told Studio 7 he was happy about winning the event, in which he walked away with a food hamper, $1,000 and a year's subscription to DSTV.
And in sports news, Zimbabwean clubs Chicken Inn and Harare City got off to a perfect start in the 2016 Pan-African Football Safari. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
It was a weekend of celebration for Chicken Inn and Harare City fans after their teams recorded victories in their first romance with Pan-African football. For Chicken Inn, it was a sweet 1-0 victory over glamorous South African club Mamelodi Sundowns ahead of the return leg in 2 weeks' time. The all-important goal for the Gamecocks came from Michel Katsairo in the 36th minute. It was also a sweet return for the Brazilians' manager Peter Ndlovu, who started his career at Mzilikazi Primary School and later at Highlanders in Bulawayo before going all the way to play in the Barclays Premiership with Coventry City way back in 1991.
I'm happy to be back home, and also it's where I made my name, where Highlanders gave me a chance, and it's good to come here back as a manager of another team, but I've got fond memories, and that makes it so special.
Although the Gamecocks have a tough assignment in their away game, their coach Joey Antipas thinks the goal scored is good enough for his team to advance to the next round. Antipas says their target was to come out with a goalless draw against such illustrious opponents, and adds that he is proud of his boys for their achievement.
To tell you the truth, we went out to try and play for 0-0, but we managed to get 1-0 up against quality opponents like Sundowns. Very chuffed about the win. I'm proud about the boys. They maintained our tactical discipline.
Also celebrating were Harare City, who took a 3-2 advantage after squandering a 2-0 lead to give Madagascar's AS Adema a glimmer of hope ahead of the second leg. The coach of the Harare City Fathers, Taurai Mangwiro, said they were very, very careless in their defense to allow the little-known Madagascan side to score 2 goals.
Having led at halftime, I thought the floodgates will open. It wasn't to be. Poor organization at the back. We were careless in the manner in which we defended. They got a penalty, and suddenly it came on.
Harare City had taken a first half 2-0 lead through new boys Ronald Chitu and Rafael Manuvere, but the visitors clawed back to even the scores before Manuvere gave the Zimbabweans the winner in the 85th minute. However, Mangwiro says he's happy that they got that winning goal in the dying stages of the match.
I'm happy we had that goal in the dying stages of the match, and it can make a big difference come the second leg.
The return legs in both the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederation Cup will be played before the end of this month. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.